Cantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Sacked by Fiona Davenport, narrated by Marnie Young and Jamie Rennell. Chapter 1. Naomi. I'd been to plenty of football games in my 18 years, but watching my brother play for the New York Nighthawks was something else. I was so proud of what Nixon had accomplished. Getting drafted into the NFL had been his goal ever since he played his first game of flag football when he was 5. I'd heard the story time and time again from my parents since I had been too young to remember. My brother was a little more than 4 years older than me, so I'd only been a baby back then. When the game clock ticked off the final seconds of the second quarter with Nixon's team ahead by a touchdown and a field goal, I jumped to my feet to cheer along with everyone surrounding me. My seat was much better than I'd expected, one of the best in the stadium, club level, right at the 50-yard line. Nixon was just a rookie, but his head coach had arranged for my ticket when my brother had told him I was coming to the game today. His wife, Sally, was seated next to me, and she patted my hand. "I'm so glad you could make it to today's game." I beamed a smile at her. "Thanks for inviting me to sit with you." She waved off my gratitude. "Your first game was the perfect excuse for me to be out here instead of in the suite with local business executives who'd want to talk my ear off instead of letting me enjoy the game." One of the women in the row behind us leaned forward and said, "And as the head coach's wife, it's kind of her job to take all of us football wives and girlfriends under her wing." "Oh, I'm just here to watch my brother play," I explained, my cheeks heating over her assumption that I was with one of the players when I'd never even been on a real date before. "Want to come with me? I need to hit up the walking taco stand." Sally flashed me an apologetic grin as she slid out of her seat and stepped into the aisle. "It's a tradition. Say no more. I know all about football superstitions. Nixon has plenty game day rituals." I laughed and shook my head as I followed her up the steps. "I can't tell you how many times I've had to sit through the water boy because he has to watch it the night before every game. It's been a tradition ever since he was in the 8th grade. "That's okay. I have to get up early and bake a batch of homemade oatmeal cranberry chocolate chip cookies for Keith before he heads to the stadium for every home game," she shared. "His mom was happy to pass that ritual over to me back in college when we started dating." I licked my lips. "They sound delicious." "I'll bring you some next time," she promised. "Thanks." When we reached the top of the steps, she hooked her arm through mine to lead me through the crowd. "Your brother mentioned that you're staying with him while you're taking a gap year?"
"Yeah. My parents weren't too excited about me deferring my college acceptance for a year, but Nixon was really supportive of the decision, so when he suggested that I come out here, it sounded like the perfect plan to me," I explained.
"From some of the stories Nixon has told, it sounded as though they're a bit overprotective," she asked.
"You can say that again," I muttered with a sigh. "The only reason my dad was okay with me living in New York was because I'm staying with Nixon. Even if I'd decided to go to NYU this year, he wouldn't have been okay with me living in the dorm."
"Parents can be a lot," she winked at me.
"Or at least that's what my kids used to tell me before they got married and had children of their own." I shook my head with a laugh.
"I'm sure you weren't that bad."
"You only say that because I'm not your mom," she pointed out. "Perspective is everything."
"You might be right," I conceded with a smile.
"At least your parents can't complain too much about you slacking off since you'll be keeping busy by helping Nixon with his social media accounts." I nodded.
"Yep. I did a communications program at the high school I attended and got a lot of practice with creating graphics. And since I was part of the Arts and Literature magazine publicity team, I also got plenty of experience at posting to social. So it seemed like a great way to pay my brother back for letting me stay with him."
"Managing his social media presence will be a huge help," Sally agreed. "With the work you've done for your school, you've already learned the benefit of being strategic when you post. Used wisely, social media can bring more awareness to Nixon as a player, but a lot of the younger guys don't do a great job of leveraging their accounts. They use it more as a way to communicate with jersey chasers than anything else." My nose crunched at the thought of the kinds of things women might send my brother through social media. Yeah, I'm going to avoid his direct messages like the plague.
Smart plan, she murmured as we joined the line for the concession stand.
Watching as the guy piled cheese sauce, ground beef, fresh jalapenos, and salsa into a bag of corn chips, I decided that I needed a walking taco, too. As I reached into my purse to pull out my wallet, Sally wrapped her fingers around my wrist.
Your money isn't good here.
Oh, but I... No, really. She leaned close and whispered,
The guy who runs the stand refuses to let me pay because he loves being part of the ritual. It makes him feel as though he's doing his part to help the team win.
I guess I can't argue with that logic. I settled my purse over my shoulder again. After we got our walking tacos, we headed over to grab some cotton candy for me. I couldn't risk the temptation of one of my favorite treats before returning to our seats. Then we basically ate our way through the next half of the game, celebrating a Nighthawks touchdown with a hot dog in the third period and one in the fourth with churros. When Prentice Wright, the Nighthawks' starting quarterback, took a knee to run down the clock for the final 39 seconds, their win was clinched. Sally patted my knee when I started to get up.
Let the crowd thin out, and then we'll head down to the post-game room. It'll take a while for your brother to shower and change. There's no need to rush.
The woman seated on the other side of Sally leaned across her lap to add,
We don't have to wait at the players' lot exit, so we don't need to worry about all the fans lining up to see the guys as they leave.
The post-game room isn't fancy, but at least it's private, one of the wives sitting behind us murmured. The other woman nodded.
And it gives us a chance to catch up with everyone while we wait for our men.
All of the families usually head down there, along with close friends and former teammates, Sally explained. Nixon had told me to follow Sally so he could find me more easily, because the parking lot was crazy after games, but I hadn't expected there to be a crowd. Hopefully I wouldn't feel too out of place while I waited for him, since I didn't know anyone other than Sally. But I was looking forward to finally getting the chance to meet some of his friends, and maybe even catch a glimpse of some of the famous players on the team. Like Prentice Wright, the hunky quarterback.
Chapter 2. Prentice. I zipped up my duffel and slung it over my shoulder, then wrapped my knuckles on my helmet, just like I did any time I left the Nighthawks locker room. There was always a high after a win, but I was also tired as fuck. I certainly wasn't past my prime by any means, but at 32, I wasn't a young buck either. Going out and partying hadn't been my scene for a long time. I was looking forward to going home, having a long soak in my hot tub, and going to bed. But first, I needed to catch Sally in the postgame room. We were planning a big bash for Chuck, the head coach, and she wanted to give me the number of Emma Hensley, the elite New York City wedding planner she'd used for her daughter's nuptials. Apparently, Emma had agreed to plan this party as a favor to Sally. There was a strange crackle in the air when I entered the room, and I suddenly felt a little off balance. I shook the sense of disorientation off and lifted my chin at Sally when she waved. She bustled over with a smile and gave me a hug. Great game, then handed me a business card. Thanks to both, I said with a smile as I slipped the card into my pocket. I'll give her a call next week.
Fantastic,
Sally beamed at me and gave me another hug. I'm going to go find Chuck. Say hello to your brother for me. Will do, I replied, before she hurried off to find her husband. I was about to leave as well, but I turned around. My eyes landed on a stunning creature. My breath caught in my throat, and my cock came alive. If I hadn't been so blown away by the woman I was staring at, I would have been shocked that my dick was showing any interest in a woman for the first time in years. She wasn't very tall. Then again, a lot of people seemed short when you were looking down at them from 6 feet and 5 inches. Her light brown hair was pulled back into a ponytail, showing off her gorgeous blue eyes, pert nose, and full pink lips. My gaze slid lower to her slender neck, generous tits, soft stomach, and wide, round hips. Fuck. She was made for sex, made for having babies. made for me. The thought was startling, but it wasn't as scary as it should have been. Instead, I felt a sense of contentment, mixed with an urgent need to make the beautiful brunette mine. As a professional athlete, I'd had a lot of women throw themselves at me. Not once had I ever felt the desire to even take one on a date. But here I was, dreaming about knocking up this beautiful woman. My mother would be bouncing off the walls with excitement if she knew what was running through my mind. She'd been after me to settle down for a couple of years now. My older brother, Ward, a tech genius and self-made billionaire, was a workaholic, and she'd given up on getting grandkids out of him. Our younger brother, Caden, was 25, but he was training with the U.S. Olympic soccer team, and my twin sisters were only 18. My dad's head would probably explode if one of his baby girls got serious with a guy. Looks like I'll have to take one for the team. I returned my perusal to her face and stared at her, mesmerized, when she laughed at something someone said to her as they left. Damn, she was so fucking beautiful. She looked young, but not enough to be one of my teammates' daughters, I hoped. Glancing around, I tried to figure out who she might be with, but there were only a handful of people left, and they were talking to the players they'd been here to meet. I moved toward her, as though she was metal and I was a magnet. Her eyes came to mine and widened for a moment, before they sparkled, as she returned my smile. "I don't believe we've met," I said when I was less than a foot away. "There's no way I would have forgotten you." Her blue eyes filled with humor, and she put her hands on her hips. "Does that line ever work for you?" I inched closer, keeping my steady gaze locked with hers. "I wouldn't know, I've never used it before, because I never say a thing I don't mean." Her expression fitted with shock. Then her face flushed with pink as a pleased smile curved her lips. She shuffled her feet nervously. "No, we haven't met." "Prentice," I said, moving just a tad closer, so I was invading her space, but not touching her. "Naomi." "That's a beautiful name. It suits you." Naomi dipped her head as she blushed again. "Thank you." I played football in high school, was recruited by Notre Dame for college, then was drafted when I was 21, and spent the past 11 years playing for the Nighthawks. I'd done hundreds of press conferences, speaking engagements, and numerous other things that required me to talk. But for the first time that I could remember, I felt tongue-tied. Before I could come up with something to say, our wide receiver, Hale, and his wife, Lisa, stopped to say hello. I nodded in response to their greeting and gritted my teeth in frustration while they introduced themselves to Naomi. After a few minutes, they said goodbye, and I breathed a mental sigh of relief. "So, who are you?" "Naomi!" Dana, the girlfriend of one of our rookies, called out. "See you at the club." I frowned, irritated at yet another interruption, and wondering who the fuck she was going to a club with. Once they were gone, we were finally left alone, and I opened my mouth to try again. But clearly, our win was the only luck the universe was going to give me that night, because Nixon, one of our newer defensive linemen, came barreling into the room and right up to Naomi. "What a game, Mims!" he shouted as he picked her up and spun her around. "We crushed the other team!" I clenched my fists so I wouldn't snatch her from his arms. She laughed at his antics, and jealousy burned in my chest. I ground my jaw, telling myself not to be a bastard. I'd never been the kind of guy to go after another man's woman. But Naomi had me questioning my ethics. Nixon put her down after a couple of twirls and dropped his arm around her shoulder. "Hey, Prentice," he greeted me with a grin. "I see you met my baby sister, Naomi." Sister? Thank fuck she wasn't there with anyone else. However, considering how young Nixon was, I couldn't help wondering if she was legal. I doubted he would bring his sister around if she were under 18, but the worry lingered.
Chapter 3. Naomi. It turned out that my concerns about being uncomfortable while waiting for my brother in the post-game room had been unnecessary. Sally had taken me around to introduce me to everyone, and I'd fit right in.
Only nobody warned me that Nixon would be one of the last players out of the locker room, or that I wouldn't care how long he took, because I'd have the best distraction in the world. It was difficult for me to wrap my head around the fact that I'd been having an actual conversation with Prentice Wright, and that he was even hotter in person, which shouldn't be possible, not when he was already insanely attractive in all of the commercials and magazine spreads that he'd been in. Prentice was the epitome of masculine beauty, with his dark hair, beard, brown eyes, chiseled jaw, and muscular body. I was 5'5", and he was a full foot taller than me. I loved how feminine I felt standing next to him. But what I appreciated the most was the way his attention was wholly on me while we talked, how a muscle in his jaw would jump and irritation would flash in his eyes any time someone interrupted us, including my brother. Even though I was only here because I had wanted to see Nixon play, I had felt the urge to stomp my foot in frustration when he came rushing into the room. And I could have sworn that I had seen a flash of jealousy in Prentice's dark gaze when my brother had spun me around, then flung his arm around my shoulder. But that was probably just wishful thinking on my part, considering he was way out of my league.
"You ready to hit the club?"
Nixon asked. At first, I thought he'd been talking to Prentice, but then I realized his focus was on me. My excitement about going out to celebrate their win dimmed at the thought of my time with Prentice coming to an end.
"Are you coming with?"
Before the sexy quarterback could answer, my brother shook his head with a laugh.
"Nah, he's old and has to go home. It's past his bedtime already."
Prentice scowled at Nixon, and I assumed it was because his response had pissed him off, until he growled,
"Is your sister old enough to go to a club?"
His question was deflating, since he sounded more like a protective big brother than a guy who might be interested in me. The last thing I needed was another sibling, and certainly not the only man who'd been able to bring my libido to life.
"Nope."
My brother let the P at the end pop as he grinned, dropping his arm from my shoulders.
"But you know they'll let her in if she's with me. They're not going to turn us away after a win at home, or even a loss. Having players show up and get photographed is too good for business."
Prentice sighed, his gaze scanning my face before he asked,
"Do you really want to go to the club? I could take you home instead."
His offer was sweet, and I really wished I could take him up on it, especially since that would mean I'd have him all to myself for the entire ride to Nixon's house. But I had already agreed to be my brother's designated driver, so I couldn't just bail on our plans.
"Yeah, when Nixon was telling me about how he and some of the guys go out to celebrate after a win, it sounded like fun. Plus, I've never, you know, been to a real club before."
I hadn't meant to remind him of my age, since the last thing I wanted was for him to see me as a little girl. But the words came tumbling out of my mouth anyway, between having his gorgeous brown eyes locked on me and the awkwardness of standing next to my big brother while my panties were drenched because of my reaction to his teammate. I was way out of my element.
"I'll come with you, then."
His attention shifted back to my brother as butterflies swirled in my belly.
"You're going to the end zone?"
"Of course," Nixon nodded.
"Where else would we go?"
"Good,"
Prentice grunted.
"Nobody will hassle Naomi if she walks in with me."
The ups and downs of this conversation were giving me emotional whiplash. I'd been so excited by the possibility that he'd agreed to join us because he wanted to spend more time with me, right up until he casually mentioned how easy it would be for him to get me into the club. I couldn't help but wonder if he was talking from experience, if he was so confident of the outcome because he brought underage girls to the club on a regular basis. If I was just another in a long line for him. The thought shouldn't have hurt me since we'd only just met, but my stomach roiled while the guys hammered out the plan for our trip to the end zone. The last thing I needed to do was be mopey when we got there, so I wasn't paying much attention to what they said as I gave myself a mental pep talk.
"You cool with that, Mims?"
Nixon's question pulled me out of my thoughts.
"What? Are you okay with riding over to the end zone with me and then meeting up with Prentice in the parking lot so we can walk you inside the club?"
he repeated. Slanting a glance at Prentice, I nodded.
Yeah, that's fine with me. You gotta pay attention if you're coming to the club with us.
Nixon rolled his eyes and gently tapped my forehead.
No getting wrapped up in those daydreams of yours when we'll be around guys I don't know.
Especially when they'll be drinking,
Prentice growled, crossing his muscular arms over his broad chest. My brother beamed a smile at him.
It's a good thing you'll be with us. You can help keep an eye on my baby sis. I love the guys, but you know how they can sometimes get when we're out partying. It'll be good to have your level head there in case some dude decides to hit on Naomi. You can keep me from killing anyone.
No worries there,
Prentice assured him with a grim smile.
I promise that you won't need to kill someone for getting too close to your sister.
Beyond irritated, I planted my fists on my hips and glared at both men.
First of all, stop talking about me when I'm right here.
Nixon quirked a brow.
That's not fair, considering you weren't even paying attention to what we said before. You totally missed what I was asking you just a couple of minutes ago.
He kind of had a point, but I was too annoyed to give him credit for it. Instead, I narrowed my eyes and continued.
Secondly, I'm the one who gets to decide if some guy deserves to get his face smashed in for hitting on me, not you. Like that's ever stopped me before,
Nixon snorted and shook his head.
And I'll be the one to do the smashing. Thank you very much.
Prentice's dark gaze drifted down my body, sending goosebumps along my skin in its wake.
I don't want to get on your bad side, but I think you should let us handle anyone who's bothering you.
Nah, she was right about that, at least.
Nixon flung his arm around my shoulders again.
I made sure my sister knows how to defend herself. Naomi might be small, but she's tough.
Sliding out from his hold, I huffed.
I had to be, growing up with you.
He shrugged as he flashed me a sheepish grin.
Hey, someone had to help me practice in the backyard if I was going to make it to the pros someday.
And look where you are today, I murmured, pressing my lips together to stop myself from smiling at him.
The least you can do is give me a little credit. Don't be silly,
he tweaked my nose.
If I didn't, you wouldn't be coming to the club even though you're underage.
If we're doing this, we'd better get going.
Prentice grumbled, sounding about as happy with my brother as I was. I had a feeling it was going to be a long night. I just hoped I'd get to spend most of it with Prentice.
Chapter 4. Prentice. When we arrived at the end zone, the line to get in stretched around the block. But when Racer, the bouncer on duty, saw me, he grinned and waved us over. Great game tonight. We shook hands, and he detached the velvet rope, gesturing for us to enter. The other players and the girls entered first. With Nixon and Naomi behind them, and me taking up the rear, I wanted to make sure that Naomi was as protected as possible.
"And who's this sexy pussy?"
a man to my right asked, eyeing Naomi in a way that made me want to smash his face in.
"I can make you purr all night."
"Hey, baby," another man leered. "Why don't you show me your moves on the dance floor?"
Naomi glanced back at me, and when she saw my face, worry filled her pretty blue eyes. Concerned that she was afraid of me, I closed the gap between us, anxious to reassure her that she was safe with me. "You know I'd never hurt you, right?" Naomi snorted and rolled her eyes. "Of course." Her immediate response filled me with relief and warmth. "I'm worried you're going to hurt them and get yourself into trouble," she added. I chuckled and put my arm around her, pulling her close against my side. "Nah, I have enough connections around here to keep me out of trouble, especially if I kick their ass for disrespecting a woman." Nixon had slowed his pace at the slimy comments from the drunk patrons. When he turned slightly to check on his sister, I imagined that his expression was similar to the one Naomi had seen on mine. "Take it easy, rookie," I said, just loud enough for him to hear me. He pressed his lips into a straight line, but as his eyes swept around again, he noticed how the men were now avoiding Naomi. No one who came to this club would mess with my woman. I wasn't quick to lose my temper, and I rarely resorted to physical violence, but I was still a big, scary motherfucker. The tension in Nixon's shoulders eased, and he tossed me a grateful smile before looking at Naomi. "You good, Mims?" She nodded, and he turned around, continuing his path to the VIP area. When we entered the much quieter space, he gave me a chin lift and murmured, "Thanks," before heading toward the other guys congregating at the bar. I led my girl over to a corner where there were intimate seating areas, claiming one of the half-moon couches with a small table in the middle. Naomi sat near the center, and I dropped down beside her, close enough that our thighs touched when I relaxed back into my seat. Then I put my arm behind her and leaned in as though it were too loud to hear each other without our heads being close together. "Tell me about yourself," I encouraged. Naomi shrugged. "There isn't much to tell. Nixon and I grew up in a small town in Connecticut. My brother was the golden boy, but he never let it go to his head. He's really a great big brother, even though I'm the mature one between us." She giggled and shook her head, moving her silky hair under the lights so it shimmered a golden brown. "I didn't want to go to college yet, but my best friend is attending NYU, and Nixon suggested I come stay with him while I figure things out."
"You didn't want to stay in your hometown?"
Naomi gestured toward the rowdy boys near the bar. "Not especially. But my brother was the one who wanted to leave and see the world, to be a star."
"And what did you want?"
She blushed adorably and looked away. "I like the idea of traveling, and I had no problem leaving our small town, but I...
Even in the darkness of the club, I could see her cheeks darken to crimson. "You can be honest with me, Naomi. I want you to be able to tell me anything."
Her eyes turned soft, and she smiled sweetly. "I really just wanted to be a mom and a wife. Though I would like to pursue my degree, I'd just rather do it online while I live my life."
Her answer was music to my ears, and I was tempted to pick her up and make a run for Vegas. However, I didn't want to scare her off, and the situation was tricky, what with her older brother being my teammate. "There's nothing wrong with your ambitions, baby." The endearment rolled off my tongue without thought, and I was damn glad it had when I saw her pink cheeks and the pleased sparkle in her eyes. "Everyone dreams of something different. It's what makes us unique," I winked. "Special." Naomi beamed at me, and I fell a little further under her spell. She was so fucking perfect. I had no clue that she was everything I ever wanted until I met her.
"What about you?"
She cocked her head to the side and studied me with a sweet smile. "I can't imagine your story is as boring as mine." "Baby, I guarantee there isn't a person out there who would think you're boring." My hand absently played with the ends of her hair, and I couldn't help imagining what it would feel like to have those tresses wrapped around my fist while she took me deep down her throat. I shifted in my seat and put one ankle on the opposite knee, trying to give myself more room in my pants without making my condition obvious.
"Perhaps," she replied, her blue eyes sparkling.
"My story isn't as exciting as I think you're imagining. Pretty typical childhood. I have an older brother, a younger brother, and twin baby sisters."
"Big family," she murmured.
I shrugged. "Never seemed that way. Our house was always loud and crazy, and still is. Maybe that's why I'd like a big family."
"You want a big family?"
Naomi asked, her voice colored with surprise. I smiled and nodded. "I can't imagine my children growing up any other way."
Naomi's head dipped, and her hair fell forward. I pushed a lock behind her ear and bit back a grin when she shivered as my fingers grazed her skin.
When she looked up at me again, her smile was a little shy.
"I want a big family, too."
"Good to know," I said under my breath. I intended to get started on that family as soon as possible.
"Pardon?"
Naomi leaned in even closer, and I was about to give in to my desire to kiss her when we were interrupted.
"Miss?"
We both looked around to see a server standing on the other side of the small table holding a tray. She held out a martini glass toward Naomi, but halted when she glanced at me and saw the expression on my face. I knew what she was about to say, and I was already pissed as fuck about it. Her words tumbled out nervously.
This is from, the gentleman at the bar?" Since she was still holding the glass, she used her elbow to gesture behind her. A guy who barely looked old enough to drink was watching Naomi with a cocky smile. Clearly, the kid was too young to know that he shouldn't be...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?